We are living through historic times, and that's what we're going to talk about on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. I'm in Panama and I just finished my 2 weeks of quarantine that was required after I flew into the country 2 weeks ago. They had a doctor call me every day. I was not allowed to leave my house for 2 weeks. And now that I finally finished that, yesterday I got to go shopping for the first time and went down to the grocery store. And boy, things have changed a lot. They boarded up all the stores here in town and they only allow men out 3 days a week, women out 3 different days, women on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, men Thursday or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and nobody gets to go out on Sunday. So I'm recording this on Sunday and it just hit me that this is absolutely historic. Never in the more than 500-year history of the nation of Panama have they had a day where every single citizen was required to stay in their homes and could not leave for the entire day. This is the first time ever. And actually, that got me thinking just how historic this COVID virus really has become. I saw that in Jerusalem, they are basically canceling the Palm Sunday parade that's happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, they're still going on with it, but almost nobody there. Usually there's tens of thousands of people that take place in that Palm Sunday parade. And this time it's just a few dozen. Same thing at the Vatican. The Pope gave his mass in St. Peter's Basilica to an empty basilica. Now, there were a couple of nuns that he invited, a couple of people there in the choir and that sort of thing. But in reality, this has not happened like this in literally ever. I mean, you could maybe find some time in the last 1,000 years that that's happened. But I would say it's not in living memory and certainly not in our lifetimes. So this is a historic time for us. And so the world is changing. Everybody's losing their jobs. I talked with my friend Hugh about this about 7 years ago. No, now about 10 years ago. We were talking about writing a novel that looked ahead into the future and kind of looked at what would happen with culture when you extrapolate the trajectories that we see with technology and environmentalism and fear, or you know, people's unwillingness to take any risk. And when you start to project all those things into the future, you come up with what we have today. It actually happened a lot sooner than I thought it would. The prediction we made back then was that if you look at the increase in technology and bandwidth, that when we get to the point where we have enough bandwidth, where I have a screen the size of a wall that I can have not 4K quality, not 8K quality, maybe 64K quality, something that is literally indistinguishable to the human eye. And you look at the litigiousness of American society, you can get sued for doing anything. So you're safer off just staying in your house. When robotics allow the plumber, let's say, to not come to your house, but to actually just send a robot to your house to fix your toilet or whatever, or you can get all of your groceries delivered. You can get, you don't need to leave your house for anything like that. You can date online. The rise of technology will dramatically change our lives. And then you look at things like this virus. You look at the SARS virus. You look at terrorism and things like that that make it more dangerous, at least the perception of it being more dangerous for people to go out in public and go to a movie or go out to the mall or something like that. And so what you find is that people are going to start staying in their homes more and more and more to the point where it's almost weird and even irresponsible for you to leave your home and do anything. Why would you? I mean, okay, maybe you'll go visit some friends in their home, But why would you go outside? Why would you go out in public? And you don't really need to go out in public if you have a wall-sized screen in your house where you can watch movies or shop or experience things in ways that we haven't even thought of yet. And we have the bandwidth to do that. So we were talking about this in 2007. This is before Amazon delivered like they do now. This is before Walmart would deliver your groceries. This is before all that. But it's here. And now it's here by necessity, and it came crashing in on us. So it's going to very dramatically and rapidly change our culture. Now, the question is how, and how do you get ahead of that? Well, I was thinking about the fact that I've lost several speaking engagements because of this COVID virus. And I was supposed to speak at a couple men's retreats here and there that got canceled. And I thought, you know, we don't want to stop encouraging each other as men to be good men, to lead our families, to raise our children, that sort of thing. And so how about let's find a way to do that remotely? So you've seen this Zoom program that people are using for teleconferencing and schooling and all sorts of things. And I've been watching my Padawan learner, Marky, go to school using Zoom from our house. And I thought, this is a way that we could maybe get men together to encourage each other. So we started last Saturday. We had a men's get together, like a men's breakfast. When I was a kid, we would all get together at church once a month and have pancakes. Well, we can't get together at church now. So we just got together and had coffee via Zoom. And we had 60 guys show up. We had several people come and speak. And I just want to give you a little taste of what that looked like now, so you can kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. Check this out.
How are you doing, Graham?
Yep. Yeah, my friend Oliver North likes to say that a hero is somebody who puts himself at risk for the benefit of others. And what that looks like in this situation, I think, is we're going to, you know, even though, man, we're hurting, we got bills to pay. There's people out there that are worse off than we are. What can we do to help those people?
Don, that's a great idea. Somebody anonymously posted that they're handing out toilet paper. Now, when I was a kid, I mean, I never realized that I could preach the gospel with toilet paper because I was normally throwing it at my neighbor's trees. But that's a brilliant idea. What a practical way to show God's love. Thank you, Don, for those examples. Wow. But this is such a our goal is this is apologetic, not to defend some argument, but to get back to the gospel. So one toilet paper roll can open a door with our pagan neighbors.
And I would just like to encourage you, men, what a great opportunity you have right now to tell those around you how much you love them, to tell your bank account you can't trust in it, to tell your health that it could be wavering any moment, and to just re-up your commitment to Christ, that we're going to meet him and it's all that's going to matter.
All right, I want to bring in General Jerry Boykin. General Boykin, holy cow, if I were to read his resume, we'd run out of time. So let's just suffice it to say he is a founding member of the U.S. Army's most elite counter-terrorist unit, Delta Force. And one of the most combat-hardened guys that you could ever hope to meet. And again, if you have questions for any of our panelists today, you can go ahead and write them out in the Q&A down at the bottom.
But the book breaks down what a man is supposed to be into five things that a man is supposed to be. And I want to talk about one of those things today, but let me tell you what those five things are. The man is the defender. Defends what he holds dear. Man is a provider. He provides not only, you know, for the financial needs of the family, but he provides direction for the family. A man is a battle buddy. Every man needs a battle buddy. No man is an island. Everybody needs a battle buddy, and they need to be a battle buddy. As iron sharpens iron, so one man strengtheneth another. A man is a teacher or an instructor. And then finally, a man is a chaplain.
I'll tell you, I'm encouraged by what y'all are saying this morning. I think it's all timely and needed because of the unique situation we're in. You know, I'd first just like to say in the realm of kind of enduring and being tough and prepared. I think the church, the Christian church in America, has fallen pretty short of making that a balanced part of the fullness of Scripture, because of, I don't know, maybe culture, maybe the way the machine of Christianity runs in America. But definitely, pastors have definitely forgotten the benefits of preparation.
So we actually had some really cool speakers and everything. We decided we're going to do this again. I'm going to do this every Saturday for the duration. So if you want to join in, feel free. Get on my Facebook page or contact me through Patreon. That's patreon.com/hotzone or whatever. Get a hold of me and I'll give you the link, and you can register and you can join us this coming Saturday. We're going to have three more really cool speakers that you're going to love, and give you a chance to actually interact with these guys one-on-one. It's not something you get every day. And so I hope you'll be there. We're going to help this thing grows and gets to the point where we've got too many people to fit on Zoom. That would be more than 10,000 people. So let's keep it going. Now, going back to with this COVID virus, there's a story out there that would be massive news right now if it wasn't for the COVID virus. And that's the fact that there's a plague of locusts that's eating most of Africa. And it's even spread into the Middle East now. And it's just devouring the whole countrysides. And so I want to give you a little bit, part of the problem with this COVID virus is that they are not now able to deliver the pesticides that they've been trying to spray on these locusts to kill them off. And so some people are trying to look for other solutions to that. And one of the solutions they're finding is a tree called the neem tree. Check this out.
The locusts are very voracious. At the same time, they're historically known that they will not touch a neem tree. Also, they will be killed very quickly because they will stop eating, they'll stop mating. And with locusts, the main thing is stopping mating, okay? Because their mating cycle is very quick. And once they have reached the fifth instar, they're flying and they're swarming. So it's most important to be able to stop their mating. So neem kills over 350 insects that are harmful to plants. It is totally non-toxic and totally safe for humans and for other insects like bees, worms, etc., butterflies. They are not at all affected by neem in any negative manner. But at the same time, it's powerful enough to kill locust and the most voracious, insects. For example, cotton. Cotton has it's what's called a sweet crop, and over 100 different insects are drawn to cotton. But with the use of the neem cake in the soil and a neem pesticide spray, we were able to keep our cotton, in wonderful condition, pristine, clean, and increase our yield.
Well, that's pretty cool. And it brings up the last point I want to make today. And that is the way that we're going to get out of this tragedy that we're experiencing right now, this virus that's causing so much hardship around the globe, I believe is the same way that they're finding to kill locusts in Africa. It's through human ingenuity and being, look, we're going to have a lot of minds working on this problem. We already do. And they will come up with a solution for it. I really believe that. But I think we need to pray that God will give people solutions, that God will bless their efforts to solve this crisis, but that we will, in the meantime, cry out to God as our salvation. He's the one that will save us from the COVID virus. He's the one that will allow us to find the solution to this. So I think if you're stuck at home right now, I hope that is having a positive effect on your prayer life. because I think that's the reason God lets us go through suffering like this, because he wants to get to know us better. And there's only one kind of friendship that's maybe a stronger bond than the friendship you have with your spouse, and that's the friendship that's born in battle. My buddies that I went to combat with are the deepest friendships that I've ever had in my whole life, because when you put it on the line with somebody, when you go out and face danger and hardship and death and combat and misery, when you experience misery together, it cements your bond as friends. And so God wants you to have that kind of bond with him. And we go through times like this so that we can cement those bonds with God and get to know him a little bit better. When you take all the stuff out of the way, all the busyness that we've gotten used to in our lives, we take all that busyness out of the way, then nothing is left but for us to sit down and talk to God. We get to know him a lot better, and that's what he wants. So that's all for today. It's Palm Sunday, and I'm preaching. We'll be back again later on this week. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I'm Chuck.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.